It's important to know what you believe so that you will not be easily deceived or swayed by the teachings or the intimidations of men. The goal, according to the Scriptures, this is found over in Ephesians, it says, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and the craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. Or to put it another way, I want you to know what you believe and believe what you know. And in our studies of Acts chapter 13 and 14, if you would turn there again, we find that Paul and Barnabas have been called by the Lord to take the gospel into some new areas. They usually begin by going to the synagogue. And as they are given the opportunity to speak, they share the history of what God has done in the nation of Israel. Whenever Dave Rustifer is with us, he always talks about that his method of working with the Malinke people is not to just say, hey guys, I want you to know about Jesus on the cross. He takes them back to Genesis 1-1 and builds that whole foundation. He's still building. He's going through the law, and he's going through that whole aspect of getting people to understand who God is and what He's done. And finally, He'll bring them to the cross. And other missions have done the same thing, and they say it helps to build the foundation. So what did Paul do? He started to preach that way. He says, hey guys, God chose our forefathers. And God prospered us while we were in the land of Egypt as slaves. God protected us there, and He brought us out. And then God was patient with us for 40 years while we wandered through the deserts. God provided victory for us as we took over the promised land. God provided leadership for us through Saul and through King David. And through King David, He has promised the coming Messiah. God prepared the way for the Messiah through the preaching of John the Baptist. And it's almost like, but brothers, we have a problem. You failed to recognize the promised one. You rejected the promised one. You crucified the promised one. And guys, we're here to tell you the good news. The good news is God raised Him from the dead. And I want to just hammer that one thing away. A month from now, we will be celebrating Easter. We will once again be reminded that our Lord went to the cross on our behalf, and up from the grave He arose. And that is one of those areas where you need to have that as a part of your relationship with Christ. You need to know that. And I somehow the Lord keeps challenging me in my own life, because I know what I'm supposed to know. I know as a youngster, I heard the stories of Jesus. I want to make sure that I believe what I know, and that it is true in my life. Because once again, to see someone rise from the dead is not a natural thing. And so we are saying, hey, I believe in this one name, Jesus Christ. I believe that He conquered death. I believe that He has risen and He has ascended. I believe He's acting as a high priest on my behalf today. And the more I can get that into being not just what I'm supposed to know, but what I truly believe will impact my life. I've shared with you, Terry Orish and I used to work with the young people. And at times, it would frustrate me because they would tell me what I wanted to know. What do you mean? What did Jesus do? He died on the cross for us. What did you? What did you do? He said, "You need to believe." I hear the answers. Give me facts. And so I keep on. That's something the Lord has truly worked in my life. I want you to know what you know. And believe what you know. There is good news. The good news, God raised Him from the dead. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord, that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. That is so essential part of our salvation. So Paul is emphasizing that we serve a risen Savior, and the resurrection provides hope for you and I. If Jesus Christ would not have risen from the dead, we might as well, as they say, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Okay? You would be like my friends I've shared with you before, Ed and South Baptist. Sunday mornings, I'd go over to McDonald's right next to the church and go over my message, and Ed was sitting, he was sitting at the far end. And it took quite a while to sort of get to know Ed. But, you know, eventually you warm up to each other. And one night, you know, I found out that Ed was the pool shark of Basic. And he says, I sunk so many consecutive balls, you know, was the title. And he says, hey, well, you want to come over and play pool some night? Pastor Cuddy's not a big pool player, but why not? You know? So I went over to Ed's house and, played nine ball. Never played nine ball in my life, but that's sort of a fun game. It is. And so we started playing, and once again, he just tore me up. He did. But it got all done. And it says, Ed, I'm a preacher. I just wondered if you have ever trusted in... Oh! Hold it right there, buddy. All right. Yeah, you weren't going to get far with this one. He says, I believe that when I'm dead, I'm just as dead as the dog. You know? It's done. I think I've shared with you before. You get to know somebody and you get to care for them. All of a sudden, Ed wasn't there for about 3 weeks. And the other guy says, hey, Ed's in the Midland Hospital. He's got cancer. And so I make my way over to see Ed. And just once again, sort of, just visit. Hey, a friend of mine. And then I tell him the proverbial question, a thing that the pastor always tells people. If there's anything I can ever do for you, I'll do it. We were heading for a youth rally at the Silver Dome. Supposed to leave at 5 o'clock. I think I get a call from Ed at 2 o'clock saying, they will let me out of the hospital if I have a ride. Will you come get me? And I don't know, we have a few nurses here. Sometimes the hospitals are pretty slow when it comes to letting people out. You know? So I was praying all the way from Bay City to Midland. Hey, let this thing go fast because I got to get out of here. Yeah. We get there and it worked like clockwork. It was just one of those things. On the way back, I had the opportunity once again just to say, Ed, let me share with you what I believe. I believe that Jesus Christ came into this world and he died on the cross for you and he died on the cross for me. And he rose from the dead and made it possible for us to have eternal life. And the only words I ever got out of him, well, it makes sense. Okay. Well, I was in a hurry that day, so he dropped me off. Ed got worse, of course. I went to his house one time and the place is locked, but he's slumping in his chair. Just down. So I called the police. I said, hey, so, you know, my friend's slumping over in the chair. Lady policeman comes and we try to get in the house. And, you know, finally she's just about ready to break the window. She says, hey, let me try one more thing. She went on back. I took my card and flipped in the door and walked in. She came back around. I won't ask. The next time after Ed got out of the hospital, I went to his house. He walked into his bedroom and brought out his hunting gun and gave it to me. I passed that on. My brother, my nephew has it now. But I challenged him one time. Ed, you have just given me one of the greatest gifts you could ever give me. This was a neat gun. But Ed, I could say, keep your stinking gun, I don't want it. But instead, I'm going to cherish it. And I want to tell you that the Lord did the same thing for you. He gave us the gift of His Son. And we need to come to the place of embracing it and accepting it. Well, Paul is doing this. Paul is challenging these people. You got to have this relationship with Christ. And then he says to them, let's just jump down to the verse, chapter 13, verse 46. They run into some problems as they try to tell people. Most of the people are there. I mean, the crowds are coming to hear this good news. But there are the Jews who are in the background stirring up. They're filled with jealousy. And they talk abusively against what Paul was saying. Verse 46, then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly, we had to speak the word of God to you first. You realize that Paul says that in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, to the Jews first, and then for the Gentile. For in the gospel of a righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. So he says that we're going to turn to the Gentiles. And it says we now turn to the Gentiles. Verse 46, for this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. And everybody here should say, thank you, Lord, for turning our way. And then verse 48, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord. And here's one of those verses that everybody wrestles with at times. And all who were appointed for eternal life believed. I don't know what you do with those verses. This is what I do with those verses. God knows who's going to be saved. He didn't tell Brian Petty. Yeah. I'm responsible, and I don't do a good enough job, but I'm responsible to tell others that Jesus Christ paid the penalty. He died on that cross for us. And he wants to have a relationship with you. The word of the Lord spread through the whole region, but the Jews incited God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the city. They stirred up the persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from the region. So they shook the dust from their feet in protest against them. Well, they leave the city, chapter 14. At Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went to the usual end of the synagogue. There they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Gentiles believed. But the Jews who refused to believe stirred up the Gentiles. Now what we're talking about here is the pendulum. The pendulum of religious opinion. And what we want to have, there's a difference between a pendulum and a plumb line. Okay? We want to have you have a plumb line that says, hey, this is what I believe. But we live in a world today that is just swimming all over the place. And at times we get swept up in it. And so the challenge is, hey, what do I believe? This, I want to be grounded in this. Well, once again, these people stir up the crowd and they swing back and forth with opinions. It says here, verse 3, so Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there, speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of His grace by enabling them to do miraculous signs and wonders, that I might call upon Him with the authority that I have been given through Jesus Christ, my Lord. Once again, the people of the city, verse 4, were divided. Some sided with the Jews, others with the apostles. We got this thing swinging back and forth. Okay? There was a plot amongst the Gentiles and Jews together with their leaders to mistreat them and stone them. But they found out about it and fled the Lycaonian cities of Lystra to Lystra and Derbe and to the surrounding country, where they continued to preach the good news. In Lystra, there sat a man crippled in his feet, who was lame from birth and had never walked. Now, transformation took place in that man's life. And we find here, I think we better ask ourselves the question. Look at this, verse 9. This man had been listening to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him and saw that he had faith to be healed. Is there something in there for me? Maybe we should all ask ourselves this question. What does God see when He looks at me? What do you see when you look at me, God? Do I believe that You are able to do above and beyond all I ask or think? Those are areas where I want to grow. I want you to be in prayer that I would grow in those areas. Oh, it's interesting though. This man stands up and jumps up and walks. Verse 11, when the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in the Lycaonian language, the gods have come down to us in human form. Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes because he was the chief speaker. The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought bulls and wreaths to the city gates because he and the crowds wanted to offer sacrifices to them. Now, let me challenge you a little bit here. The crowd also recognized this miracle and began to see Paul and Barnabas as gods who came to in human form. All of a sudden, the pendulum of religion opinion swings in a different direction. These people from Lystra think that they are experiencing a divine visitation. The idea of gods coming to earth in human form is familiar to this region because of a legend that they had grown up with. The existence of this ancient legend may explain the wildly emotional response of these people from Lystra in the healing of the crippled man. According to the legend, Zeus and Hermes came to earth in the neighboring district of Phrygia, disguised as human beings. They seek lodging, but no one shows them hospitality and takes them in. Finally, an old peasant couple, Philemon and his wife Bacchus, welcome them as house guests, even though it depletes their meager resources. The gods are angry and destroy the whole population for their lack of hospitality, except for gracious Philemon and Bacchus. The couple's humble cottage is transformed into a temple of which they are given charge of until the death. I wrote right below this. Part of the preacher's job is also to steer you away from unbiblical ideas and traditions. Know what you believe. Believe what you know. And then, I guess I want to encourage you one more. Learn to defend what you know from the Word of God. When you start talking with someone and they are off in the distance with some ideas that you have never heard of before, it might be wise for you to say this to them. Chapter and verse, please. Where did you find that in the Bible? I like listening to John Piper and reading John Piper at times. And there was on Facebook one day, there was Joel Osteen. And Joel Osteen was just preaching. And the next slide was that of John Piper saying, "Where did he get that?" And at times we need to ask that question. Where did we get that? Or are we being caught up in the pendulum of religious opinion instead of having the plumb line to the Word of Truth? So once again, it's important for you and I to know what we believe and then believe what we know. Paul and Barnabas, they run in there and they try to say, "Hey, this is wrong!" You know, they're ripping their clothes. They're showing, "Hey, this is wrong. Why are you men doing this? We too are only men, humans like you. We bring you the good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God." Oh, may we challenge ourselves once again. We have a message to tell to the nations that will turn their heart to the right. And we need to keep on working that way. It's always interesting for me. Here they are ready to make Paul and Barnabas gods. But then come down with me to verse 19. Then some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over. They stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. But after the disciples had gathered around him, he got up and went back into the city. The next day, he and Barnabas left for Derbe. Sort of reminds me of my Lord on Palm Sunday. What are they doing? "Hail, King Jesus!" On Friday, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Oh, it's not impossible for you to be caught up in that swing too, where your friends will speak against you because of your stands or what you believe the Word of God says. Paul is willing, and we probably need to reach down and at least finish up with this next verse 21. They preached the good news in that city and won a large number of disciples in Derbe. Then they returned to Lystra. Wow, that was interesting. Paul had just been what? Stoned there! Strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. And may I encourage you somehow, you probably need to highlight, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Don't be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ so that you may be overjoyed when He is revealed. And so I pray that we might see that in Port Zaire.